Turn with me again, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 119. You may want to take a moment. If you have a car with license plate number ATRM-219, a Santa Fe, to go out and turn your lights off, unless it happens to be the kind that they go off automatically in 2 or 3 hours. Other than that, you might want to go out and turn them off now so that you'll be able to get home tonight. We're reading from Psalm 119. Starting at verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. We know the Lord will bless his word. Let's pause for a moment and pray that that word will be a blessing to us and on our hearts. Father, as we continue in thy presence tonight, we again give thanks for this time of worship and praise. Give thanks for the privilege of being here in the house of God. We have health and strength. We have soundness of mind. We have ability to be here. O God, we take this advantage to the full and pray that as we have now separated ourselves and closed the world off, these times, these moments now, will be used by thy Spirit to work in our hearts. Please, Lord, forgive us for all our sin. Cleanse me, I pray. I may be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and ready for thy use. Lord, I pray that the word tonight would be impressed on every heart. Lord, don't allow the devil to take the seed of the Word of God out of our soul. Let it be mixed with faith that we will grow thereby. Let it be planted deep down inside. Lord, I pray that our ears will be tuned to the Spirit of God, that spiritually we'll be alive to the Word of God. Forgive us, we pray, for our apathy and coldness. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me for my carelessness of the things of God, and just help us all to be with our ear open and our heart open to thy way. Lord, I think tonight of those who are in our meeting who do not know the Savior. Deal with their hearts. I pray for each one of us going through perhaps some difficulties and trials in life, yet we pray that the Word of God would help us and give us direction, certainty for the future. We pray for that reviving of soul. Lord, come near and help us all, we pray. Now open the Scriptures to our understanding. We pray these things now tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Mentioned to you this morning, if you're here now tonight and you are not with us, regarding the special nature of this Lord's Day, by way of recognizing it as a very important milestone, a day worth remembering, a memorial time where we acknowledge that we are biblical Protestants, that we say we love the Word of God, because truly an evangelical Christian A Bible-believing Christian will be seen to be in the same frame and definition as being a biblical Protestant by all of the definition, what that means. We must not neglect our heritage. We must be very careful that we do not forget what has happened before. Forgetfulness is a sin. Let us all be reminded of that. Forgetfulness is a sin, especially when it comes to dealing with the things of God. The Lord commands us to remember. He commands us to consider and not to forget. He commands us as parents to teach our children so that they will not forget. And yet we all have to say that the difficulty we find in our own life maybe is apathy. It may be falling into that stupor of apathy and carelessness in spiritual things so that we are in danger at times of losing the ground that at one time we gained, even spiritually in our own Christian walk. That has been the case. We take two steps forward and we fall three steps back. And this idea of going forward and losing ground can be very, very discouraging. Let's face it. And yet, how do we overcome that? My friend, we overcome by remembering the Word of God and remembering what the Lord has given to us and remembering what He has told us and commanded in the Word so that we do not barter away our God-given liberties for a mess of worldly pottage. Yes, it's quite simply, we can give away things very easily that have come to us and maybe come to others at a great cost. So this morning, I said that one of the lasting legacies of the Protestant Reformation are written confessions of our biblical faith. While confessions of faith were not new in that particular period, the Reformation time, yet they were produced. And I say this to you solemnly, they were produced in the fires of persecution. And they have come down to us, and we are able to open them and read them and peruse them as we do the Scripture, and very often not thinking of what it cost men who had laid down their lives. They battled against all forces of satanic power. They battled against the enemies of truth, and they have done so because God enabled them, and they have brought to us, and we have this great heritage that is built upon the Word of God. Why? The results were documents given to us with very precise wording and close argumentation, and they were aided, they have aided to this day, thousands of us believers who are able to know and defend our truth and what we believe in and what we understand the Bible teaches us. Ultimately, we know that confessions of faith, they are subservient to the Word of God. That is why we call them substandards, because they are in no way to replace the Scripture. They are to be an aid to us both in defining it and defending it. This morning but on the back of your bulletin where you have some information, the Apostles' Creed is also cited there for you. We have to understand that when this document came into being, the language used at that time was appropriate to that day and generation. Near the last line, it talks about the Holy Catholic Church, and I meant to define that because sometimes people might think, oh boy, what does that refer to? That has nothing to do with the modern day Roman Catholic Church. Simply the word Catholic means universal. So really what that is saying, the Holy Universal Church of Jesus Christ, all those who are saved by the grace of God, that's what that particular word means in that context. But I asked this morning some questions about what all this means to us. It's one thing for us to consider history, and that's so important for us, biblical history and the church history, so that we know where we have come from and we know the benefits that we receive from those who have gone before. But we have to be able to take this word and apply it to our own lives and say, well, where do we go from here? How does the Scripture help us and aid us in our walk? Where do you stand tonight with regard to what you have received? And I say this to all of us solemnly in this congregation and in this denomination. Why? Because the Lord in His Word has told us, unto whomsoever much has been given, much is required. That is a solemn word for us. Why? Because we have the information of what has come down to us. We have commentaries. We have Bible expositors. We have the whole list of the Puritans. We have all these men who have gone through the thick and the thin, through the fighting of the enemy of their souls to give us much and a blessed and a plentiful heritage. What do we think about our political and religious freedom that we enjoy today? We possess that, you know, primarily through what God did in the Protestant Reformation. Europe was delivered from the tyranny of the Roman Empire at that time. And that light that sprang through the gospel coming into the hands of the people spread throughout Europe and then through the world. We today possess the benefit of freedom in our political sense and certainly in our religious sense through what God did at that time. Do we consider the value of the written heritage from men and as they have suffered much for the cause of Christ? Are we using this to the very best advantage in advancing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I ask you, is the word of the Lord the joy and rejoicing of your heart? Come back, please, to Psalm 119, verse 111. This is the text I leave with you tonight. David said, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Do you know what comes to me first of all from this? It is with open arms that David applied himself to this truth, with open arms. And I pray tonight that you and I with open arms will receive this truth. For he said, thy testimonies have I taken. I have received them. And I've received the testimonies of God with open arms and, of course, with open heart. Now, the word testimony refers specifically here to the law of God and particularly the Ten Commandments. These testimonies were written by the finger of God and given to Moses. And when the tabernacle was completed and all of the furniture was built, the Ark of the Covenant was that unique piece of tabernacle furniture. And inside this cabinet or chest was contained the law of God, the 10 words. And the 10 words were kept in there as by way of a memorial for the people of God. And we are understanding through this that these testimonies were to be kept by the people of the Lord. And they were to be kept because they were God-given. David said, thy testimonies have I taken. They are not something that have come through any other way but through the gift of the Lord. And each detail of man's necessary obedience is contained in those 10 words. Now, David acknowledges their origin and who owns them. They were not made by man's mind. They were not society-driven. They didn't come from the schools of academia. They didn't come from the halls of philosophy, nor did they come from Wall Street or Bay Street. No, friend, these things came directly from the Lord. They are God's words. They are the Lord's testimonies. These are God's, and they tell us much about His holy character. They tell us much about His mercy to humanity. For these testimonies, they're not only standards, but they are safeguards. They are rules that are to be followed in society and among the Lord's people. And by the way, any society that acknowledges and honors the 10 words of the Lord, it will be a place where there is harmony and stability in that land. But when David said, "Thy testimonies have I taken," what does this tell us about him? Would you know what it tells us? It tells us something of David's identity. Who I am and who I belong to. That's what it meant for David. You see, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. And so it tells us right off that David's heart was changed. David's heart was in touch with God, and he had gone through that inner reform or transformation where the Lord had saved him. He had received the Word and the law of God. And you know, without that light that had come from the Lord, the law would be something very dry. The commandments of the Lord would be very, very strange to him, as they were strange to us before we were converted. And friend, tonight, if you're here without Christ, the 10 commandments to you may seem like some dusty relic from a former generation. It doesn't really mean too much. Sure, it's something that you may have been taught or learned when you were younger, but they don't really mean much to you. But once you've tasted of the grace of God and you've come into Jesus Christ, it is then that you know. It is then that you have a love for the Word and the commandments of God. You see, when Jesus Christ shines into the mind, the heart of an individual by His own free grace, we are then subdued and we are given a willing heart to do what? To declare His glory, to desire to obey Him, to follow after the holy law of God. And it becomes then part of our nature, because it is God's nature that is actually working in us. And we want to do right, because it is God's Spirit that is placed within us that very desire to obey Him and to follow after Him. That's a great evidence. If you are in Christ, if you desire to do what's right, you desire to follow His Word, there has been a mark that is set on you. You have come into God's family. You've come under the light of the gospel, and His mark is on you. We are to walk boldly in the Lord, without shame, yet humbly, bearing this badge of honor, holiness unto the Lord. David could only have taken these testimonies to himself. He was a sinner deserving hell, but the only way he could take them to himself and say, "These belong to me, I will take these testimonies to be my own," it is because he realized that another, a substitute, the Lord Jesus, had obeyed perfectly the law on his behalf. And Christ, when he obeyed God's holy law completely, with no deviation, in its entirety, he kept them all. And then what did the Lord do for me? He graciously applied the merit of that and the obedience of them to my life, and I stand on account of what the Lord Jesus has done for me. This tells us something of the active obedience of the Lord in His life. While Jesus Christ was on earth, He perfectly kept the law of God. There is not one area of it that He did not keep. I could never keep it. I broke God's law and I have sinned against him. But when David said, thy testimonies have I taken, I will say that as well tonight. Lord, I have taken the word of God. I have taken the commandments and now they belong to me. And they are in my heart. They are in my life. They are the joy and rejoicing of my soul. Believer, if this is a great honor, I say to you, it is a very solemn one for us. Because taking the testimonies of God as our own, we receive them not with repulsion or with obligation, but with certainty of purpose. And we know that these laws are our greatest allies. They are our greatest friends. Once they were the messengers of death to us. Once they told us that judgment loomed over because of the broken law of God. Once they spoke to me of judgment, but not now. Now they speak to me of joy. Now they speak to me, they are my loyal friends. And I love the law of God. I love the word of God. Because at one time, though they spoke fear of judgment and punishment, but now they speak to me with great joy. The commandments used to say this to me, thou shalt not. And under those words, thou shalt not, there was that fear that punishment was looming. But now in Christ, what do they say to me? They say, you will not commit sin. Why? Because now there is a joy in obedience. There is a joy and anticipation of what the Lord has done. Jesus said, if ye love me, you will keep my commandments. For my commandments are not grievous. And if ye love me, keep my commandments. And the one who keeps them, in him abides the love of God continually. Walter Chantry wrote this, love cannot be expressed without the guidelines of the law. And the law cannot be kept spiritually except by the motivation of love. Do you know how the Lord Jesus summarized the law of God? He summarized it in two ways. First of all, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and truth and heart. And then he said, the second is like unto it, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is the fulfilling of the whole law. And so, my friend, the love of God and the love of Christ is the only way that we can enter in and see clearly what the law of God really means to us. So when David said this, I have taken thy testimonies, that tells us something about his identity. He is a saved man. He is one who is a child of God. He is the identity, the mark of the Lord upon him. But there's something else about these testimonies. They guided this man, and they also become our guide. Look at the very first verse of that section in 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you receive directions to a destination, you must know where you are first. Most of you will have had this experience of going into a large shopping mall and you're looking for a particular store. You may know the name of your store, but you go up to the large directory and you search down through the name, and you find the name found in section A6. So you find the big diagram, and you see A6. Now, what's the next thing you have to do? You must find those three little words, you are here. Because it's not until you find out where you are that you will know where you have to go. Because other than that, you'll spend a lot of time wandering around in circles until you find out the location where you're going to. My friend, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. And it being a lamp unto our feet, what does that tell us? It tells us where we are standing. It shines down on our position right now. And the Word of God, the commandments of the Lord, they tell us where we are standing. Are you standing tonight in Christ? Or are you still standing in your sin? You see, the Word of God will be a lamp to show you where your position is. And it's only through faith in Christ that once you have repented of your sin and you know you have peace with God, you are now positioned as one who is righteous. You are now positioned as one that is holy, standing before your Lord, and the light of God's Word shines upon where you are. There is great joy, friend, in knowing tonight that I am in Christ. There is great peace that comes to you by saying, I know it is well with my soul, and the Word of God has opened this truth to me. It has shined upon me. And I know that Jesus, my Redeemer, has lived a holy life for me. He has obeyed completely where I could not have obeyed. And I am standing positioned in this, in righteousness and true holiness. We know where we are. Do you know where you are tonight? Are you saved from your sin? The Word of God shines upon us spiritually so that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And once I know where I am standing, it is then that I will know the direction I am to go and the way forward. Look at the rest of verse 105. It says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. But then it says, it is a light unto my path. Well, of course, the pathway speaks of progress. This pathway speaks of going somewhere. And you've had the experience, I'm sure, of walking out on a dark night, and you perhaps are going through terrain that is unfamiliar to you. But when you have a simple flashlight that shines on the path in front of you, you are able to see the obstacles. You're able to avert the danger. And there is great comfort in shining that light upon your pathway. And the light may not be so bright to shine a mile in front of you, but all you need to have are the few steps in front of you to be able to see a short distance. And my friend, the Word of God, the illumination that we have through the Holy Spirit, it gives us direction for our pathway. It shows us where we are going, and we are to keep our eyes upon Him. If you've been riding in an airplane and going through all the safety measures, they will tell you that there is floor illumination, and there are little lights that will light up on the floor to show you where the exit is if you have to get out. I hope you never have to do that. But that's because when there is emergency and when the plane would be filled with smoke, you need to be able to get down on the floor and you will see that lighting that will direct you safely to the way that you have to go. Oh, my friends, we have the light of God's Word. And as we keep our eyes by faith upon Christ, who shines the way through the Scripture and the Spirit of the Lord opening up our way, we will see then and we will know the way that we are to go. And so these testimonies, God's Word, it illuminates us and it shows us how we are to live, what we are to do and what we are not to do and how we are to fulfill His purposes. But we must know the Word in order for this to be beneficial. It has to be imbibed in our hearts. And how do we do this? My friends, it has to be prayed into our souls. We must take time to study the Scripture for ourselves. Benefit there is in Bible study. Benefit there is certainly in the Lord's Day and in sermons and hearing teaching. But we must learn what it is to progress in our own lives personally of getting alone with God. Our thinking has to be dominated by God's truth. If we are going to find that to be our guide through the pilgrim journey. And so for David, it showed his identity. It was also a guide to him. But what else did the testimonies do? Why they protected him. And they will protect us. Protect us from evil. Thy word, he said, is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. He said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So hiding God's word in our heart will protect us from evil. It'll protect us from foolishness. Wisdom comes from the Lord. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It will protect me from evil, from foolishness, and from self-destruction. This is good. Good for me. Because the law of God, they act as barriers in my life. They act as guides and guards, so that when I am coming near to danger, when I am coming near to sin, when I am coming near to destroy myself, the law of God is there as a barrier to protect me and to keep me from self-destruction. But let's move on tonight. And I want to show you that not only do we have in this scripture in verse 111 this message that David was able to proclaim, but we have also an everlasting possession, not just with open arms, but it's something we look forward to forever, because the text tells us it is an heritage forever. The testimonies of God are His words, His promises to His people. And all the gospel promises, my, they are clearly set out in the Scripture. And as He has promised life for obedience to His law, so in Christ all of these covenant obligations have been met, whereby we can say that the testimonies of God, they are faithful to us, and they have drawn us. And the faithfulness of God's word is this, that it will never time out. It will never diminish. It will never tarnish. They are true forever. We have an everlasting heritage secured in the Scriptures. We read tonight from Deuteronomy 33. And I did that because there is a great verse tucked in those several verses where it says, Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. It's the same word that is used here for heritage in Psalm 111, or Psalm verse 111, as we find here, the inheritance. So the law of God is called here an inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. Now, you would think not so much as the law of God being itself an inheritance, but you would think about the inheritance for them being Canaan. For us, we would think about our inheritance being eternity and a time in heaven with the Lord forever. Oh, but here, very specifically, the Word of God, the commandments of the Lord, they are called our inheritance. And our inheritance, not for time, but forever, because they are those things which actually come inside us. They are things which guide and direct and keep us. And we love the law of God, and the law of God itself, because it speaks so much of the character of our Lord, and it tells us who God is. We love the Lord. We love His law, because the Lord and His law, His word, they are so closely connected that they become our very inheritance. They are the title deed for us, telling us all that we have in Christ through them. My friend, if you try to claim a possession, an inheritance, but you do not have the legal claim to that, you will argue and argue, but your argument will be rejected. But in Christ, our testimony is based upon what He has done, and our future in heaven is secured in Him because of all the Lord has done on our account. I want you to notice also here, not only is the are the testimonies an eternal inheritance for us, but they bring out a heart of praise. For David said, they are the rejoicing of my heart. Notice that it does not say they bring joy, but that they are the rejoicing of my heart. Well, indeed, the commandments and the law of God in the heart, they also do bring joy, but they themselves are the rejoicing of the heart. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The Apostle Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, and this delight brings unspeakable joy because it brings inexpressible satisfaction. Yes, there is peace. There is great joy. One commentator said this, that true joy is the earnest which we have of heaven. It is the treasure of the soul, and therefore should be laid up in a safe place. Have you laid up the word of the Lord in the safe place of your own heart? Let not the world and all of its enticements steal away the rejoicing of the Word of God from us. And it seems that we're bombarded with so many things that rob us of our joy. They take away the peace of God from our heart. Ah, but friends, let us come back to rest upon the great heritage that we have, this everlasting heritage. As the hymn writer said, take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. In conclusion tonight, let me ask you a couple of questions. Have you taken God tonight at His word? Are you walking in obedience to His truth? Is the law of God the daily delight of your inner man? And when was the last time that you shed a tear over the Word of God in your own private devotions? Is it not time for us to seek the Lord? Is it not time for us to return unto Him? We might be strengthened, we might be encouraged, that we might determine to go on with God and let nothing else hinder our way. I pray that tonight the Lord would write His word upon each of our hearts, and we will come to drink in all that God has done for us. And we will say, as David did, Lord, Thy testimonies have I taken. They are a heritage for me forever. They are the rejoicing of this heart that has been saved by grace, this sinner who has been redeemed with the matchless grace of God. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, tonight we pray that the Word would be in our lives, living, growing, producing righteousness and holiness, producing that fruit which is so necessary for us to live, to shine brightly for Thee. I pray that the Holy Spirit will come to us with great power, and that we will walk in a holy way, that our thinking would be right according to the Scripture, and that, Lord, we would have the joy of advertising by the very life that we live, advertising that which is of Christ and of God and of truth. Bless us, we pray, tonight. Hear us now, Lord. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.